Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
In verse 12, we read in connection with Jacob that he dreamed, and behold, a ladder, verse 12, set up on the earth, the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Biblically speaking, much information was given to the people of Israel, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and so on, from the angels that God have used to serve his people. I don't know if you remember, but in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 11, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Yaakov, Jacob. And I said, Here am I." And Jacob is sharing how the angel of the Lord has spoken unto him. So angels had much to do, much involvement in the history of the people of Israel. And biblically speaking, we can see this found in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 33, we read in verse 2, "And I will send an angel," God is saying to Moshe, to Moses, "I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and so on, unto the land flowing with milk and honey," and so on. And so God is always mentioned the angels in reference to the people of Israel, because they are called in the scripture are those that are serving. They are called servant. The Hebrew word malachim, malach, simply means messengers. And so, beloved friends, the angels are servants of the Lord. It says in the book of Hebrews, interesting, when the apostle wrote to the early Hebrew believers in Jesus the Messiah, he said, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And then he continued and he said in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, "Are they not," speaking about the angels, "all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And you see, beloved friend, angels were servants. They are serving God. We don't see them, but angels do exist because God teaches this in his word. And it is extremely interesting. Daniel heard the angel speaking unto him, Gabriel, in chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 12, the angels like Gabriel and Michael ministering to the servants of the Lord. I just also want to mention that in the book of Deuteronomy, we read in chapter 33 in relationship to the provision of the law, we do read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 verses 1 and 2, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints," the Hebrew word is angels, "from his right hand went a fiery law for them." In fact, even the law was given to our people of old, the people of Israel, through the angels. This is very important to understand it. Very interesting, because even Stephen himself, beloved friend, for a moment as I'm speaking about this angel, Stephen himself in Acts chapter 7, we read what he said to the Jewish community, to the Pharisees, and to the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 7, verse 53, he's speaking about God and about Israel, who have received, Israel, the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. The law was given to Israel by the disposition of angels. This is fascinating to learn, all these beloved friends. So angels have a lot to be involved in Jewish history, in biblical Jewish history. And just one more verse. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said in verse 19, he said, "Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise was made." And notice this, beloved friend, "and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So as I'm continuing now, just to emphasize the importance of angels in biblical history, here we find out that the scripture says in John chapter 5, as we read this text, that an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water step in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, that this man was now sitting there by that pools in Beit Chasda. So in the next verses, this is kind of sad, because there was a sick man by the pool there. We read in verse 5, "And a certain man was there which had infirmity for 38 years. Can you imagine this man that was sitting there by the pool, like many others who were blind and halt and withered and so on? They're waiting for the moving of the water. Here is a specific man that sat there that our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, you might say, zeroed on him. He sought to draw him to himself. It is always fascinating, beloved friends, how the Lord is dealing with individuals. In John 2, it was an individual couple that had a wedding. In John 3, it was an individual Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. In John 4, there was an individual woman who was a woman of Samaria. Here in John 5, there was a certain man which had an infirmity for 38 years. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, came to seek and to save them which were lost. And he's dealing with everyone individually, seeking to draw them after himself. Well, Jesus, in verse 6, we read that he knew of that man. He says, when Jesus saw him lay and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Now imagine, how could he know? How could he know? He's 38 years in a state such as this, and Yeshua knew that he was for 38 years in that condition. How did he know? Well, again, beloved brothers and sisters, to remember that the Gospel of John presents Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, in his divine nature. He is God, who became a man, who was born to Miriam at the city of Bethlehem. And he came for the express purpose that he will provide redemption for mankind. And he lived here for these 33 and a half years in perfection to show that he was the sinless one. But he knows everything about you and I and about this man. So he saw him. He knew his condition. And then he asked him, "Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole?" This is verse 6. "Hachafetz ata lehirape in Hebrew? Do you want to get whole? Do you want to get healthy? If the Lord going to ask you today, would you like to get healthy? Who of us will say, oh no, I don't? Everyone would want to be healthy. In fact, that's why we are visiting the doctors and taking the right medication and trying to do everything in order to be healthy. But beloved friends, what we find out that he wanted to do much more for this man. But first of all, the first thing that this man had in mind, he was there by the pool because he was for 38 years. He had an infirmity. And he was there, maybe every day coming there, somebody bringing him to this pool in Beit Chasda, the house of mercy, the house of grace, waiting for the water to be shaken by the angel so he will be placed in and he will get healed. Waiting, coming again, and coming again, and coming again. And you see, it is fascinating to learn this spiritual lesson for us all, because we all try to fix the needs that we have, the natural need that we had, but you can see how the Lord lead him from the physical need to the spiritual need, from that which is here and now to that which is eternal. And while it is always desirable for us all to be healthy, but because we live in this decayed world, in this decayed body, we're getting older and sicker, and we get, as it says, we are groaning within us. And that's why we never can forget our spiritual health. That's why we need spiritually to be right with a holy and a righteous God. Will thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step down before me. I have no man, he says here in verse 7. I have no man. There is a man, my dear friend, who came from God. If you will notice that a little bit later on, in the very same chapter, in verse 39. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, and we can read it later on, search the scripture. For in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testified of me. I am the man that came down from heaven in order to give myself a ransom for many. That's why John 1:14 said, and the word became man, became flesh, became human being. There is a man. Now, of course, this impotent man said, I have no man. In other words, I don't have anybody to carry me and to place me into the water, into the pool, so I will be healed. And then, while I'm finally trying to arrive there, another step down before me and getting healed, apparently. And so the Lord, this is the man. Here's the man. He said, I have no man. There is a man. There is a man that came from heaven, the man Christ Jesus, the man Mashiach Yeshua. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the one that came to redeem. And so look what he does. In verse 8, our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah speak to this impotent man, and he's saying to him, rise. Number one, take up thy bed. Number two, and walk. Number three, get up, carry your bed or carry your whatever you were laying on, and go ahead and walk. Apparently, he could not walk. And immediately, notice that. Immediately, verse 9, the man was made whole. Completely whole. And he took up his bed and he walked. And notice what the Bible teaches us in this verse 9. And on the same day was the Shabbat. Same day was the Shabbat day. Now this is, my dear friend, it is always a challenging conflict that existed throughout the time where Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, was among his people, Israel, the Jewish communities, because the spiritual leaders of Israel have gone, you might say, beyond that which Scripture had given to Israel in the law concerning the Shabbat day. And that's why you will notice that it's not coincident, but the Spirit of God adding here to the healing of this man that this day was a Shabbat day. Does it make any difference if it was the first day of the week or the second day of the week or the third day of the week or the fourth day of the week, the fifth day or the sixth day of the week? Why Shabbat? Because that was an issue that brought about the conflict between the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel, and the Messiah, Jesus himself. In fact, if you turn to chapter 6 of our gospel, of that sixth chapter, you find out in verses 5 to 14, it's the same issue that he made a miracle and so on. And it always seems to show us that there was timing that he did miracles. It was in connection with the Shabbat day. So he's done many miracles, and it happened to do that on a Shabbat day. If you go ahead and you see miracles after miracles, seems to do some of his miracles on the Shabbat day. We have seen it in a previous chapter, right? In chapter 4, how he performed some healing and so on in a timing that was not suitable for the Jewish leaders. And so the miracles that the Lord have done in the land of Israel, many of them happen to be on a Shabbat day, and it seems to be that he have done it also purposely to show that he was the Lord of the Shabbat. From here on, in verse 10, on you can see now that the Lord is now dealing directly with the issue that the Jewish leaders had a problem with. And so we read in verse 10, the Pharisees, they were not pleased that he have done this on a Shabbat day. So what happened in verse 10? It says here, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Shabbat day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You cannot carry thy bed on a Shabbat day. Now remember, in previous times in Israel's history, God did not want Israel to do business on a Shabbat day, to carry things back and forth, in and out, and to buy and sell, because he wanted them to devote this day to him, and that's correct. But this is healing of a person who was sick for 38 years. For 38 years. And could not he be healed on a Shabbat day and be happy to take his bed? He's not going there to have business made. He's not going there in order to please himself in a sense of doing things that will be not devoted to the Lord. But here on a Shabbat day, he's carrying his bed because he was laying on it for 38 years. And he's walking, and they should be so glad for him. But you see, we read that they ask him, they said to him, it is not lawful for you to carry thy bed. Now again, it is so sad that sometime, beloved friends, we are going beyond what the Word of God teaches us, and we end up become a religion rather than spiritual engagement with the Lord. The Shabbat is such a beautiful day that was given to our people of Israel. It's a day that God gave. It was not instituted by Israel. It was given by God himself in the law. But once we've gone beyond it, then we fail to honor the Lord. You know, you notice even here in the beginning of the chapter, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews. See, the feast would belong to the Lord. And when we are taking the feast that belong to the Lord, it becomes what we please with it. It's no longer the Lord's feast. It becomes our own feasts. And this is not pleasing to God. You see, this is exactly the issue that the Apostle Paul had to instruct the believers at Corinth. They took the Lord's table and make it their own. The danger is the same in our present day age, in which we have to be very careful. And the Lord wants us to recognize that this is His feast. This is His Shabbat. This is His table, not ours. That's why it is so important. And we read, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Don't you know, he was telling to the Corinthians, and you see, this is sad. It's happened to God's people in every generation when we go beyond Scripture, when we go beyond what God has intended. The Shabbat was given for men and not men for the Shabbat. It was given for Israel to enjoy the Lord's presence and to give time for the Lord's fellowship with the Lord, but this is where it goes beyond what the Lord have intended. And that's why they went and they said to him, you cannot do this, you cannot carry your bed on that Shabbat day. So he answered. Now, here you can see now in the next verses, it's interesting because in these next verses, beloved brothers and sisters, from here from verse 10 on, you can see that now this man not only received physical healing, but now he can enjoy spiritual healing to recognize who Yeshua is. And so in the next verses, very interesting, in verses 10 to verse 15, you notice that in these verses, we find out this communication. It says in verse 10, the Jews said unto him that was cured, it is a Shabbat day. It is not lawful for you to carry thy bed. In verse 11, the man that was healed responded to the Jewish leaders, and he said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. You see, he didn't even realize who was the one that made him whole. In verse 12, the question by the spiritual leaders of Israel, they ask him, what man is that which says unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed did not know, verse 13, who it was, because Yeshua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place. You notice, when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, performed this miracle, he did it publicly. And at the same time, you could see that now there will be a public position by the leaders of Israel at the first coming of the Messiah. To him, there will be an opposition. He did it publicly. Multitude was there. Multitude saw that he healed that man that for 38 years was an impotent man, could not walk, could not go into the pool. Now he's walking, he's carrying his bed, and he's whole. And so the Lord Jesus withdrew himself. But you notice what it says here, very interesting, because in verse 14, Jesus found that man in the temple. Apparently, this man went now to the temple. Remember that Beit Chasda, the sheep gate, and where the pools and there was five porches, is not too far from the temple, from Beit HaMikdash, because the sheep would come through the gate and they will be taken to the temple, and the temple by the altar, they will slay them and will ultimately offer their sacrifices unto God. Well, this man went to the temple to give praise to God because now he is healed. And so Yeshua found him right in the temple. And he said to him, notice, he said, behold, thou art made whole. And then he adds, he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Apparently, from the context of all these passages, when Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, said to him, sin no more, lest worse thing will come upon thee, it seemed to be that the condition that he found himself as an impotent man was a result of something that he may have done. Remember what the Bible teaches us? Be sure your sins will find you out, God said to Israel when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap in the book of Galatians. The sin bring consequences. Now, sometime more than others, but the point is, the Lord is telling him, you see, you are made whole, verse 14. And therefore, he says, sin no more. Isn't that amazing? Because Paul, in Romans chapter 6, because the Romans were in danger to neglect to appreciate the grace of God, so the Apostle Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, some are in danger of saying, well, God has shown me so much grace and mercy, so I can continue in sin, and God is going to show me more grace. He's going to show me more grace. And Paul says, no. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, don't you know that so many that have been baptized into Yeshua, the Messiah, were baptized unto his death? When we became believers, we have accepted the Messiah. We should seek to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.